of us to imagine how that works, but 10,000 years in heaven, well, it's going to be just going by so fast. We cannot fathom eternity. Our minds just don't let, we are limited to a clock. And don't any of you look at one right now, because we keep time in hand. We've had missionaries before over the years, and there are some missionaries on the field that they have to get used to the culture in which they live, and some of those cultures, they don't go by strict time like we do here in America. They may say, yeah, we'll be there about 9 o'clock, and it may be 8:30, it may be 10 o'clock, you know. There's no set time. I mean, it's just a suggestion, maybe. But I'll be through here by 12 today as a suggestion. But we'll see what the Lord has for us. We've got a lot going on today, so I'll try not to keep you here long. But I do want you to get what we're going to share this morning. Vicki's mom, Margaret Jewell, is with the Lord today. But many years ago, she shared a school story when she was in school. In the beginning of the school year, the teacher began to call the roll. And I'm not sure, do they do that in schools anymore? Don't do that in school, you know. And they holler out present and so forth. Anyway, the teacher noticed that there was one girl in the class that had not said present for 2 days. He thought, what's going on here? What, you know, who is this? So he asked her, he said, what is your name? And she said, Valentine Box. And come to find out, he had that on his roster, but he thought somebody was pranking him. So he had not called her name. Another wave of thought, all you parents out there, when you started thinking about naming your child, I'm sure there are a lot of names that got suggested back and forth and talked about, and you may have come across a name that one spouse said, hey, what about this? And you responded and says, no way. I remember a girl in school that had that name, and I don't want our daughter, you know, something. Names have a tendency to take on meaning to us, and I can remember back in school thinking about there are certain names that come up not too often, and I remember those names back from elementary school, and they bring back memories. Not all of them good. And so our names are a reflection of who we are. There's another story I came across about, it says, a sloppy and poor-dressed soldier appeared before his commander, Alexander the Great. The mighty leader asked the soldier for his name, and the unimpressive soldier replied, Alexander, sir. And Alexander the Great then commanded, they said, change your name or change your ways. You're giving my name a bad reputation. It is true that our names, our character is associated with our names. And therefore, our names are a reflection of who we are. I've entitled the message today, What is Your Name? What is your name? Father, I pray, as we look into your word this morning, that you would help us to understand about our name, our testimony, as we represent you in this world. Lord, I know that there's a possibility of people being here today that maybe have never considered what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. In salvation, there's some that maybe have known and have not made the decision. There's others that have made the decision, Lord, and are living for you very faithfully, and others that have made the decision of trusting Christ and maybe have let some things slip in their lives. And I pray, Lord, today that each one of us whatever category we may be, wherever you find us, Lord, I pray that we would examine ourselves and look honestly at what our name is, what our testimony is, how you see us. And I pray that you'd help us to make appropriate decisions in the change of what needs to be done. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis 27. There's an example in Scripture of a man that had a name. He was a supplanter, deceiver, trickster. Who was he?
Jacob.
Jacob, the son of Isaac, twin. After 20 years, God allowed Isaac and Rebekah to have a child, actually to have two. They were twins. They were not identical twins, but fraternal twins because they were different. You remember in Scripture it said that Esau was out first. He was the oldest by argument of a few minutes maybe. He was out first. He was red and hairy, where Jacob was smooth-skinned. Esau loved the outdoors. He enjoyed hunting, where Jacob was more of an indoor boy. He was what we might call a mommy's boy. But he was indoors more. Jacob, and thus his name, became known as the deceiver, the trickster, for two main reasons. Number one, he schemed to get the birthright from Esau. If you remember how that Esau came in and he did not value the birthright, and I'll explain about the birthright in a moment, but he didn't value the birthright and he was hungry, and you know how you come in sometimes and says, "Oh, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse," you know, not literally. I'm starving to death, not literally, but you know, here he was hungry and he said, what good is the birthright if I'm going to die? I need something to eat. And so Jacob bartered with him there about, well, you give me your birthright and I'll give you something to eat. And he did. He promised him the birthright. Now, what was the birthright? Well, in the Old Testament, sons that were born, the children that were born, the birthright meant that the oldest son got a double portion of the inheritance and also received the main blessing from the father. Now, a double portion of the inheritance would work like this. If there were four of you in the family, four kids in the family there, the oldest would get a double portion. So you would divide the inheritance into five parts, and the oldest would get two parts. Then each one of the other three would get one part. And then the oldest would also get the favored blessing from the father, which was almost in the Old Testament days prophetic, as it so often was lived out by the son. And so there was this birthright that was schemed to get the promise of. And then later on, realizing that Esau was going to go back on his promise and go on to his father and get the birthright, blessing and inheritance, he schemed again, this time with his mother, Rebekah, and they decided that they were going to trick Isaac in thinking that Jacob was Esau, so that Isaac would give Jacob the double inheritance and the blessing instead of giving it to Esau. And so when you read down through, and let's read a little bit here, beginning in verse 6 of chapter 27, says, "And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, food there, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, bless thee before the Lord before my death. And therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me," this is Rebekah telling Jacob, "fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it unto thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am smooth man. My father, peradventure, perhaps, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver that he was. Okay. I'll seem unto him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch them. And he went and he fetched and brought brought them to his mother, and his mother made the savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took a goodly remnant from her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou besought me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that I may bless, and then you may bless me. All right, we have here opened up for us this story of what took place, and we see how that they were scheming to get this blessing for Jacob that Isaac was intent to give to Esau. And when he did there, he knew that he was deceiving his father, but he went along with it anyway. And when he came, he lied to his father. His father said, who art thou? And he said, I am Esau. Later on, you read how that he says that he felt of him, and he says, you know, the voice is that of Jacob, but the hands is that of Esau. You know, he's hairy, and you know, and he couldn't see, and so he ended up blessing Jacob instead of Esau. And so Jacob became known as the deceiver, as a trickster. The word supplanter was given as well. All of these things come into play here. And when Jacob received this blessing, Esau had some feelings about it. Now, what do you think he felt? He wanted to kill him. He was angry. You stole that from me. And so Jacob was fearful, and he wanted to get out of that situation. His name came to mean that deceiver, that trickster. And Jacob got out of town quickly, and he went to relatives of his mother in Rebekah's hometown. 20 years later, we'll skip ahead, and God has done some work in Jacob. Now, we don't have the information totally, but we know that he blessed him greatly. There's a lot of information we could spend the rest of this morning here talking about what took place there with working for a wife and then got deceived. What goes around comes around. And then a second time had to do it. And then, anyway, God ended up blessing him with much possessions while he was there, and then impressed upon him that he needs to go back. But he's still fearful of Esau. And he knows that if Esau sees me coming, he's probably going to want to try to kill me. But going back, there's something happens, and he's heading back with all of his family, with his servants and his possessions. All of his entourage is heading back to his home, and he decides that he is going to send a peace offering to Esau. And so he sends that, and he sends all of his servants and all of his possessions all ahead of him. And he stays back with his family. And then a little bit later there, you read that he even separated himself from his family. And Jacob was all alone at this point. And we want to pick up reading here. This is in chapter 32. So if you flip over just a few chapters here, 20 years later, coming back and is going to see Esau. Jacob is in fear. And then this major event takes place while he is alone. Verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Let me stop right there. This man that wrestled with Jacob is not just a man. He's called an angel. It's not just an angel. We believe it's also what we call a theophany. The appearance of God in a human form here, most likely God the Son, in doing this. And he appears to him and he wrestles with him. And in verse 25, and when the angel saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, the angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And you know, that's kind of significant, isn't it? Because the last time he was asked, what is your name? He said it was Esau. And he says, Jacob. He admits his name. Deceiver. Trickster. Slanderer. And he goes on to say, my name is Jacob. And the angel said there, God says there, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. No more Jacob, no more supplanter, no more deceiver, no more trickster, but Israel, my prince, God's prince. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. We have here a great truth that God gives us. And this is what I want you to get out of the entire message this morning. Whatever your name is, whatever testimony is tied to that name of yours, God can change your name. And not literally change your name, but he can change who you are. He can change what you are about. He can change the testimony that you have so that it is no longer of that sinner. It's no longer of that liar. It's no longer of that cheat. In chapter 32, before he comes to this wrestling match with God, he prayed to God. And I believe it gives us a little bit of an indication of some things that had changed with Jacob. So back up there and look with me at verse 9. In verse 9 of 32, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, and the Lord which saidest unto me, return into thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. All right, he prayed. He says, God, you're the one that commanded me to go back. In essence, I'm in your will. And you promised you're going to deal well with me. And he said there, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. In other words, I came over this Jordan with nothing. Just my staff. And now I am become two bands. I am become two great groups. I've got so much possession and blessings. And then he prays, he says, deliver me, I pray, thee from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good. When he prays, he doesn't just pray, Lord, get me out of this, save me from this. But he claims God's promises. God had promised him. And let me ask you this. There's another story in the middle of all of these verses and chapters that we don't look at in today's message. But it's called Jacob's Ladder. And the great thing about Jacob's ladder is not that he had a dream and he saw a ladder and the angels were going up and down on the ladder and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of things tied to that, even in connection to the New Testament. But the big thing about that particular story is that God reiterated to him the Abrahamic covenant, the promise that he'd given, that your seed shall be as the sand. You're going to continue. You're not going to die. Your seed's not going to be wiped out. And so he claims God's promises that he's given unto him. Thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So we see here in verse 9, he says, I'm in your will. He reminds God. Now, he didn't have to remind God, but sometimes we have to speak to God that way in our own minds. I'm in your will. You commanded me to return. In verse 10, he admits his unworthiness for any kind of blessing at all. Verse 11, he requests protection from Esau. And then verse 12, he claims the promises that God had given him. What an example for us as we pray and proceed. But as he then wrestles with the Lord, and the Lord changes his name, Jacob begged for that blessing, and God gave it. As I said, the angel, the Lord asked him, what is your name? And he came clean with it. He admitted, I am Jacob. I am the supplanter, the deceiver, the schemer, the trickster, the cheat. But God changed his name. How did God change his name? I'm not talking about just the spelling of a different name, but he changed his person. He changed his character. He changed his life. And so when I'm talking to you today about that God can do the same thing for you, he can change your testimony, he can change your life. The way that he changes your name is by bringing that change into your particular life. God does the changing of that. Jacob wrestled with God. He was broken. God knocked his hip out of joint. Jacob clung unto the Lord there. He was blessed. And in verse 31 it says, and as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He limped. His walk was changed. You know, we can look at that and see, as in Scripture, the terminology of walking with the Lord and walking before others. Our walk is important to how we behave ourselves. And here, God had done a work in his life, and it changed his walk. It changed how he behaved. It changed how he lived. When the family saw him, they may have asked the question, what happened to you? You know, why are you limping as you are? And he may have responded and said, I met God last night, and I'll never be the same again. And he can do the same for each one of us.
Amen.
He can do the same for each one of us. So God is asking you right now, what is your name? What are you known for? Will you be honest with him? Will you be honest with yourself? What are you known for? You know yourself better than anybody else in here. God knows you better than you know yourself. And so it's important for us to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with God as to who I am. You might say, I'm a deceiver. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. Whatever it is in our life, admit it to the Lord. I'm a gossip. I talk about other people behind their back. That's my sin. I'm proud. That's my sin. I'm disobedient. I know that you told me to do certain things, Lord, but I haven't surrendered to do them as you said. Disobedient. It may be that you're lustful, or that you're a complainer, or maybe unthankful, or ungrateful, unforgiving. Maybe you're covetous. You're not content with what the Lord has given you. Whatever it is, what's your name? Are you willing to admit it to yourself? And are you willing to admit it to God? If you're here today and you would say to me, Pastor Blackwell, I believe in God, but I don't think I've ever come to a point where I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. My asking of you of what your name has to do with, have you ever made that choice to receive Jesus Christ? That's the first change that God wants to do in your life. The first change. If you're here today and you've never made that choice, I'd like to invite you to make that choice today. In just a few moments, we'll have an invitation. And you can make that choice. Saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've thought about these things that, and I admit to you of what I am. And I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty of that sin of what I am. And I believe, Lord, that you have offered it to whosoever will receive it. And I thank you, Lord, that includes me. And I want to receive what Jesus Christ did in that payment of sin when he died, was buried, and rose again the third day. I want that to be my payment of sin. Right now, when you make that choice, the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your life. He takes away that sin. He gives you a new divine nature within you. It doesn't make all of the temptations go away. It doesn't make all of the problems of life go away. But he says, I'm right here with you, with my spirit, to help you through the temptations, to help you through the trials. Would you trust the Lord Jesus Christ today? And then for those that would say, Pastor, I've already made that choice. I believe that I know for sure that I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. What is your name? What are you known for? God has made that initial work in your life of changing you into his child, and he has begun to change you into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not a one of us here this morning are there yet. None of us have arrived spiritually. He is still working on each one of us. So what is it still that God may be working on in your life? What still tied your name that shouldn't be? I remind you that not only is God looking and knowing, but people watch our lives as well. Others see things in our life. There's a poem I came across I'd like to share with you. I'm pretty sure you probably have heard it before. It says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see the good in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lectures you deliver may be wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. That's true not only of me as a pastor before you, but that's true of every one of us as individuals before others. People watch your life. Your children, your grandchildren, your co-workers, your neighbors, your relatives, people watch your life. And they see the things that are there. Can I say this? They more quickly see the flaws than they do the good things. And so it's important for us to be honest with ourselves, Christian, and honest before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a deceiver. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. I'm a gossip. I lust. I am not satisfied. All of these different things. To say, Lord, what is my name? How do you see me this morning? And will you then say, Lord, I'd like for you to change that in my life. Help me no more to be known for that. Help me to be known for the good that I should be an example of before others. Are you the proper example for others to follow? And will you allow God to change you today? Every head bow, please. Are you ready to make that choice? One, either you're here today and you say, God, I am not sure I'm ready to die because I'm not sure, I'm not confident that I would go to heaven today. I don't know that I have made the choice to receive Jesus Christ. If that is you, without anybody looking around, would you just indicate that to me and say, Pastor Blackwell, would you pray for me? I'm not going to mention your name. I'm just going to be praying for you in a generic way. Could you say, Pastor Blackwell, I need to get saved still. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all? Just slip that hand up. For every believer here this morning, I would say, Pastor, I know I've not arrived. God's still working on me, and there are things that he has brought to my mind this morning. But I want him to change those things in my life, and right now, by his Holy Spirit's power, I submit to that process, and I'm asking the Lord to change that about me, that would be true no longer. I can see those hands that say, Pastor, I have made that choice today. Thank you. I see a lot of hands out there. Father, I pray that you would do that work in each one of us. We're your children. We want not just to be headed toward heaven one day, but Father, help us to behave ourselves here in this life in such a way that others would see Jesus Christ in us. Lord, I pray that through it all, you would be glorified. And the Lord Jesus Christ would be emphasized in the lives of everyone that are lost, that they may see their need and trust him before it's too late. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.